5-minute update where we look at the last week's news events and relate and associate them to significant Bible prophecy of the end of days. Particularly, we look at the prophecies that the nations will divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, which will result in the judgment of the nations, which is war between the nations and worldwide economic collapse. This will result in one world government, one world currency, and while the setup of one world government and one world currency is happening, this is the period of time while the nations are being judged that the God of Israel will end the exile and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, wherein the Messiah will be glorified. We have some very important developments to share with you regarding the current situation of the peace process. But before we get into the articles, I'd like to let everyone know that Mark is out of the hospital and he is out of a rehab center. He is back home, and in several weeks he is going to be moving to Maine with his family for several months to do physical therapy, wherein someone has volunteered to work with Mark in his physical therapy until he can be fully recovered from his tree accident. And so we would ask that you continue to pray for Mark, as well as remember him financially, because as you know, whenever someone is out of work and they have a lot of medical bills, expenses can add up fast. But we do want to thank you for your phenomenal support, all your prayers, and really your response has just been incredible. And we want to thank you for that, but we would like to remind you to continue to remember Mark on a monthly basis until he can be fully recovered. Secondly, we want to remind you of a trip to Israel that myself and Monty Judah are sponsoring. The dates are November the 7th through the 18th. And there are a number of people from Beit Yaakov who will be going on that trip to Israel. And we all would love to see you out in Paltalk land to join us on that trip to Israel, as ultimately we are going to be called to return to the land of Israel as we see tribulation events unfold. So if you would like more information about that trip going to Israel, I have brochures that you can write into the ministry. The address is Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. And when you write, be sure you put in a note that you're requesting a brochure and information regarding the trip to Israel. Also, information is available at the Hebraic Heritage website, hebroots.org or hebroots.com. Just click on the banner, and there is an electronic form that you may fill out as well, if you would prefer to make your inquiries that way. So there's two ways to inquire about going to Israel with us, November the 17th through the 18th. You can write into Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and you can get an information packet, or you can electronically express your interest by clicking on the Israel trip banner at Hebroots.org or Hebroots.com. Now, getting into the articles for this week, we remember several weeks ago when Benjamin Netanyahu visited the United States and met with Barack Obama, that things were very challenging between the two. Obama made some demands of Netanyahu and wanted him to respond the Saturday prior to Passover. Netanyahu did not respond then, but it appears as though since the Passover holidays are over, that the Israeli response is beginning to come forward, and that is what this week's update is about. Now, last week, we shared with you several articles where it appeared as though that Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government was seeking to communicate their position to the United States through the media using Jewish leaders and high-ranking Israeli government officials to communicate the Israeli position through the media, not only to get word out to the United States, but to also try to influence public opinion as well. So the first part of the five-minute update is going to focus on that. Then, the United States response. The first article I'd like to share with you is from Haaretz, April the 21st. It's actually a commentary, and the headline is, "How will Netanyahu respond to Obama's ultimatum?" The commentary says, "The holidays are over," that would be the Passover season, "and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has a problem. He has to respond to U.S. President Barack Obama's ultimatum, the gist of which is the demand to freeze construction in East Jerusalem and the number of Jews moving there. Netanyahu would have been glad to dismiss Obama's demands, but he understands that he can't. So he's waging a public relations campaign in the United States to soften the administration's position. Netanyahu has been saying for many years now that the president is not an autocrat and that American foreign policy is influenced by Congress, public opinion, the media, and think tanks. Now his theory is being put to the test. Over the past 3 weeks, the administration has been flooded with letters by U.S. representatives and senators, ads of support by World Jewish Congress leader Ron Lauder and Eli Weissel, editorials and columns, television interviews with the Prime Minister, and emails from Jewish supporters of Israel. They all warn at various levels of bluntness and harshness that Obama is abandoning Israel in the face of threats from Iran's nuclear program and Palestinian terror. From Netanyahu's point of view, Obama misled him. The Prime Minister wanted only one thing, not to come out looking like a sucker. To him, statecraft consists of give and take, of if they give, they'll get, while Obama wants to only take. He opposes a surprise attack on Iran's nuclear facilities and has hardened his demands on the Palestinian issue. It started with the acceptance of the two-state principle by Netanyahu, which he did early in his term, continued with the construction freeze in the settlements that came about in November, and now has arrived in East Jerusalem in the shadow of a threat to force a solution that will take Israel out of the West Bank into the 1967 borders. Netanyahu is coming out a super sucker. He gave and gave and got nothing. Netanyahu expected that in return for his gestures to the Palestinians, Obama would harden his position on Iran and come closer to the threshold of conflict, paralyzing sanctions. But the president is not playing along. His feeble moves signal that the Americans are coming to terms with the Iranian nuclear program. Instead of pressuring Ahmadinejad and Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, he is pressuring Netanyahu to get out of the territories and hinting that Israel might embroil America in a very bloody and costly war. Netanyahu managed to rouse public discourse in the United States about Israel, and Obama got the message. Obama made a statement on Israeli Independence Day that was enthusiastic and warm, speaking about Israel as the historic homeland of the Jewish people and assuring continued efforts to work for a two-state solution and to counter the forces that threaten Israel, the United States, and the world. That would be Iran. Now the fireworks are over. It will become clear whether the president's message was mere lip service to quiet the criticism in the United States, or whether it signals intent to forge a deal with Benjamin Netanyahu. The next article from the Jerusalem Post, April the 22nd. Middle East envoy George Mitchell is en route to Israel amid Israel rejecting a freeze in building in Jerusalem. Israel has officially rejected U.S. President Barack Obama's demand to suspend all construction in contested East Jerusalem, aides to the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Thursday. The aides said Netanyahu delivered his government's position to Obama over the weekend ahead of the scheduled arrival later Thursday of the U.S. presidential special Middle East envoy George Mitchell. They spoke on condition of anonymity because the contact between the two leaders was private. Washington had put Mitchell's shuttle diplomacy on hold for more than a month as it awaited a reply from Israel. The aides to Netanyahu provided no information on whether he had offered any other concessions to the Palestinians in an effort to restart the long-stalled talks. Now, I would like to read for you an article from WorldNet Daily, April the 21st. And the headline is Obama pushing Israel to carve up Jerusalem? The article says, the Obama administration is pushing Israel to hand the Palestinian Authority full control of major neighborhoods in Jerusalem as a so-called confidence-building gesture to jumpstart Israeli-Palestinian negotiations, WorldNet Daily has learned. According to sources in both the Palestinian office and in the office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Obama administration has demanded the following from Israel as confidence-building measures toward the Palestinians ahead of any negotiations. Number one, that Israel scale back roadblocks and checkpoints in the strategic West Bank to near the levels of such measures prior to the Palestinian Intifada, which started in September of 2000. Israel says roadblocks and checkpoints are crucial security measures in stopping terrorist attacks. Number two, Israel release about 2,000 Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. Number three, Israel ease its seize of the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip. The siege applies only to materials that Israel believes will be used by Hamas to enhance its military apparatus. Basic foods, medicine supplies, and even monetary exchange flows into Gaza regularly. Number three, that Israel turn over to the Palestinians full control of key West Bank cities that are currently under security control of Israel due to threats. The demand includes what is known as Areas B and C. Area B, as defined by the 1993 Oslo Accords, encompasses cities administered by the Palestinian Authority but patrolled by Israel. Area C comprises cities under full Israeli control. WorldNet Daily has learned that as a part of its demands, the Obama administration is asking Israel to transfer to the Palestinians the town of Abu Dis, a largely Arab neighborhood in eastern Jerusalem that borders key Jerusalem roadways and is home to about 12,000 residents. Some Arab homes in the neighborhood are built illegally on Jewish-owned land. Netanyahu is said to strongly oppose the demand, arguing that only negotiations can determine the future borders of Jerusalem. The demand, if enacted, would be unprecedented for any previous Israeli-Palestinian talks. The Jewish state has never been asked to withdraw from any Jerusalem territory in exchange for starting negotiations. Sources in Netanyahu's office told WorldNet Daily that any change in the status quo in Abu Dis would signal that Israel is willing to forfeit the strategic neighborhood. They are asking us to go beyond what Ehud Olmert started, and this would only be as a precondition for further talks, said a source in Netanyahu's office of the U.S. demand. Meanwhile, the Palestinians have not been asked by the United States to make any gestures to Israel to jumpstart talks. The U.S. has not demanded that the Palestinians recognize Israel as a Jewish state. So, with those demands being made by the United States, back to the Jerusalem Post article of April the 22nd, in communicating that Israel has officially rejected Obama's demand to suspend all construction in East Jerusalem, the article goes on to say, it appeared likely Israel tempered its rejection with other confidence-building measures toward the Palestinians. Science Minister Benny Begin said it was just impossible, unacceptable that people try to impress us that we should limit construction in Jerusalem. Jews and Arabs can live throughout the city, he said. This policy will be retained. U.S. officials said that Netanyahu agreed to nearly a dozen other steps toward renewed negotiations, such as releasing some Palestinian prisoners from jail and removing more roadblocks in the West Bank, according to the Wall Street Journal. Israel would also expand the responsibilities of the Palestinian security forces and discuss borders and the status of Jerusalem in detail, said the report. Netanyahu also reportedly agreed to stop construction in Ramat Shlomo for 2 years. Israel and the Palestinians had been set to launch U.S.-mediated negotiations last month when Israel announced plans during a visit by Vice President Joe Biden to build 1,600 homes in a Jewish housing project in East Jerusalem. The Palestinians claim the city's eastern sector as capital of a future state. So, these articles are stating that while Israel has officially rejected the U.S. demand to suspend construction of homes in East Jerusalem for Jews, that Israel is seeking to appease the United States in other areas of their demands. So on one hand, this is being reported. On another hand, through the media, Israeli spokespeople are showing their displeasure toward the United States and Obama's demands. The first article from YNetNews.com, April the 21st, a Deputy Foreign Minister Danny Aiello said U.S. pressure will prevent peace. We must ensure Israel's existence as a Jewish state. Not only will pressure by the United States not support peace, but it will prevent it. In a speech before the Israeli Bonds delegation in Jerusalem, Aiello said, we desire peace, but not at the cost of Israel's national interests. Aiello was responding to recent reports that the U.S. intends to present a conclusive Middle East peace plan to which it will hold both Israel and the Palestinians to. Aiello went on to say, resolving the conflict with the Palestinians is a principal Israeli interest, and no one may moralize with us on this issue. We desire peace, and we've proved it more than once. If the Palestinian leadership have done half of what Israel has done for peace, we would have achieved peace with our neighbors by now. In response to Israel's concessions, we must also see Palestinian concessions. He added, peace is our goal, and if the means to achieving that goal is the creation of a Palestinian state, then that's what has to be done, not by artificial schedule and enforced solution, but by building a platform of trust and confidence between the two sides. This trust should be built by direct talks rather than proximity talks, and it's a pity that the Palestinians are created obstacles on this issue. Next article from YNetNews.com, April the 20th. Israel Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman says Jerusalem is not negotiable. Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman took advantage of the diplomatic reception at the president's residence marking Israel's Independence Day to assert that Jerusalem is not up for negotiation. Today I stand before you in Jerusalem as Israel's foreign minister and reaffirm late Prime Minister Menachem Begin's statement, Jerusalem is our undivided eternal capital, he said. Without referring to the plans being considered in the United States, Lieberman said, any attempt to force a solution on the parties without establishing a foundation of mutual trust will only deepen the conflict. Peace cannot be enforced. It must be built. And then from YNetNews.com, April the 19th, Benjamin Netanyahu says to ABC that building in Jerusalem will continue. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he will not accept Palestinian demands that Israel stop Jewish construction in East Jerusalem. Appearing in an interview broadcast Monday on ABC's Good Morning America, Netanyahu called that an unacceptable demand and said this long-standing Israel government position is not his alone, but that it dates to governments led by Golda Meir, Shimon Peres, and Yitzhak Rabin. I'm the one who initiated that, and that being unprecedented, a settlement freeze in the territories. That would be the West Bank. Again, in Jerusalem, we're talking about neighborhoods, not settlements. And they're urban areas right next to this office in the heart of Jerusalem, he said. These neighborhoods, which are part and parcel of Jerusalem and have not displaced anyone. Palestinians live in Palestinian neighborhoods in Jerusalem. Jews live in Jewish neighborhoods, Netanyahu added. As far as the idea of an imposed peace settlement, I don't believe anyone will seriously think that you can impose peace. Peace has to come from the parties sitting down with each other, resolving their differences. And this is what we want to achieve, he told ABC. As for Iran, Netanyahu called for crippling sanctions against the Islamic Republic to prevent it from developing a nuclear weapons capability. Netanyahu said he worries that the international community isn't acting aggressively enough to thwart Iran's nuclear ambitions. So from these articles, the last several that I shared with you, and also the articles that I shared last week, this seems to affirm the thought that the Israeli government is sharing through the media its displeasure in the United States and Obama's demands. And what then is the U.S. response to Netanyahu having spokespeople, it seems, to share Israeli views through the media? Well, from Haaretz, April the 21st, headline is, U.S. officials slam a pro-Israel Jerusalem ad. United States administration officials have voiced harsh criticism over advertisements in favor of Israel's position on Jerusalem that appeared in the U.S. press with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's encouragement. The authors of the most recent such advertisement were President of the World Jewish Congress Ronald Lauder and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Eli Wiesel. All these advertisements are not a wise move, a senior American official told Haaretz. So from this, seems like the United States, through the media, is responding back and saying, we don't appreciate Israel's response in their approach to our demands. Continuing on in the article, it says, The diplomatic freeze and crisis with the Americans fueled a heated meeting of Labor Party ministers on Sunday. Minister Benjamin Ben Elazar, Isaac Herzog, and Ivashe Braverman told Defense Minister and Party Chairman Ehud Barak that unless there was some movement on the diplomatic front within weeks, the Labor Party should consider leaving the government or working to bring in Kadima, that would be the opposition party headed by Zippy Livni, into the Israeli government. Senior labor officials, that's the party of Ehud Barak, who declined to be named, said this was the first time the diplomatic freeze was being discussed between labor ministers. The main message coming from this discussion is that things can't go on like this. The conflict with Israel and the United States, one senior labor official told Haaretz. The labor ministers told Barak that we will be approaching a moment of political decision within weeks. Barak tried to calm the minister, saying he was concerned by the state of Israeli-American relations and will travel to the United States next week for talks on the peace process. Barak appears to be set to meet with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Special U.S. Envoy George Mitchell, and National Security Advisor General Jim Jones. So, within those in Israel, specifically here, the Labor Party, who wants to see a Palestinian state, witnessing a conflict between Israel and the United States is causing them concern, and they are expressing thought that they either need to leave the government or they need to work to get Kadima into the government. Kadima is supportive of a Palestinian state as well. Meanwhile, in order to calm Israeli fears, Rahm Emanuel, who was the White House Chief of Staff, said now is not the time for a new Middle East peace plan by the United States. Even though the United States threatened one here recently. So this article is April the 21st. White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel said in an interview on Monday that the time has not come yet for a new U.S. Mideast peace proposal. In an interview with Charlie Rose on Bloomberg Television, Emanuel emphasized that a new U.S. plan isn't the correct move at this time. A number of people have advocated that time is not now. The time now is to get back to the proximity talks and to have those conversations that eventually will lead to direct negotiations. Start to make the hard decisions to bring a balance between the aspirations of the Israelis for security and make that blend with the aspirations of the Palestinian people for their sovereignty, Emanuel said. Well, in the United States, hearing what the Israeli response was to Barack Obama's demands and seeing how Israel has had Jewish leaders and Israeli government spokespeople communicate through the media that Israel is displeased with the way the United States is conducting things, it appears as though the United States has responded through Martin Indyk. And he is the Vice President and Director of Foreign Policy at the Brookings Institution and an advisor to U.S. Middle East Envoy George Mitchell. He states the following in an article that he wrote in the New York Times. And so this article comes from YNetNews.com, April the 20th. Netanyahu must make a choice, former U.S. Ambassador to Israel Martin Indyk said in an article published in the New York Times titled, When Your Best Friend Gets Angry. Indyk, who is considered close to the Obama administration, wrote, that the Israeli Prime Minister must choose between facing off with the President of the United States or facing off with his right-wing coalition partners. The shift in America's Middle East interests means that Netanyahu must make a choice, take on the President of the United States or take on his right wing. If he continues to defer to those ministers in his cabinet, that would be the group of seven who makes decisions within Israel, of which several of them has voiced displeasure in what the Obama administration is doing in making demands of Israel. This statement says that if Netanyahu continues to defer to those ministers in his cabinet who oppose peacemaking, the consequence for U.S.-Israeli relations could be dire. Indyk, who currently serves as the Vice President and Director of Foreign Policy at the Brookings Institution and advisor to U.S. Middle East Envoy George Mitchell, added that Netanyahu did not attend the Washington Nuclear Summit at the start of the month because he did not have an answer to Obama's demand for a construction freeze in East Jerusalem. The president views curbing Iran's nuclear program and resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as two sides of the same coin. In order to isolate and pressure Iran, he believes he needs to unite Israelis and Arabs with the rest of the world in a grand international anti-Iranian coalition, he wrote. The former ambassador said Netanyahu rejects these linkages and claims that a solution to the Palestinian problem will not change the Iranians' intentions and that only Israeli force will deter Hamas and Hezbollah. He said Netanyahu feels that the split with the United States over building in East Jerusalem only encourages Iran to believe that Obama will restrain Israel from striking Iran's nuclear facilities. Whoever is right, he said, there is no denying the reality of a fundamental disagreement, one that has poisoned relations between the American and Israeli leaders. He stressed that at the heart of this disagreement lies a dramatic change in the way the United States perceives its own stake in the game. He cited comments made by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice of the Bush administration some 3 years ago when she declared a speech in Jerusalem that U.S. strategic interests were at stake in resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He said that President Obama reiterated this approach last week when he said resolving the Arab-Israeli conflict as a vital national security interest for the United States. Indyk wrote, there is no longer just about helping a special ally resolve a debilitating problem. With 200,000 American troops committed to two wars in the greater Middle East, and the U.S. president leading a major international effort to block Iran's nuclear program, resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has become a U.S. strategic imperative. He added that from Obama's perspective, Israel's decision to build in the Jerusalem suburbs has dealt the U.S. a strategic setback in these efforts. Deferring building announcements and other provocative actions in East Jerusalem thus becomes the litmus test of Netanyahu's commitment to the common cause of curbing Iran's nuclear enthusiasm, he said. So, this response by Martin Indyk seems to reflect the Obama administration's being upset with Israel's response to Obama's demands. So, giving these things, it looks like that there is a bitter dispute between Israel and the United States. Yet, before I conclude the current status of the peace process, I'd like to share with you some articles that seem to indicate that, meanwhile, Israel is seeking somewhat to make an effort to please Obama's demands and are, as well, secretly discussing where we go from here and how to resolve the impasses. Before I share a couple of those articles with you, I'd like to share this article from WinetNews.com. And the article is from April the 21st. And this article is about Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad says security gains will help in imposing a state. Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad told Ynet he hoped to create a positive reality by the summer of 2011, which would help his people with the establishment of a Palestinian state. The Palestinians are still committed to the political track, which is the best means for the foundation of the Palestinian state, he said, but implied that a Palestinian state will be established even if talks fail. Our hope is that it will bring the end of the occupation by the summer of 2011, but if it doesn't happen, we hope that the building process we've been through in the last 2 years will make it harder on the sides to ignore that we've reached an almost state. We hope this can be leveraged in order to end the occupation and establish a Palestinian state, he said. Our aspiration is for negotiations to accelerate the establishment of a Palestinian state, but if this doesn't work out, we will aspire for our achievements and positive actions to serve as a lever that will assist in ending the occupation. We see an international consensus in our position and our efforts. The massive presence of foreign diplomats, including representatives of the European Union and UN Secretary General, was a great source of pride for the Palestinians Wednesday. They believe that this presence was an expression of support for the Palestinians' two-year plan as the Palestinians continue in their state-building effort. Their presence is an expression of support also expressed in the quartet statement last month and the European Union statement in December. In the conference, I sat next to a representative of the UN Secretary General and a representative of the European Union. This constitutes official international presence that bolsters our struggle, an inseparable part of the two-year plan to build a Palestinian state, he said. The Prime Minister added that the plan had passed from the idea stage to the probability stage and was now on its way to becoming a reality. Our construction, accompanied by a popular, pacifistic, non-violent struggle, has caused this great success, he said. Fayyad does not accept the Israeli proviso that a Palestinian state can be founded only through negotiations. We demand the implication of international law to define ourselves. We hear the Israelis, but they are not the only players in this arena, he explained. We are not relinquishing negotiations as a method to establish a state, but in case this doesn't work, we are preparing for a second possibility to turn our dream into a reality. The Prime Minister said his government was continuing to develop infrastructure for a future Palestinian state. We hope the achievements we reach by the summer of 2011 will offer leverage to end the occupation, he said, adding that Israel would benefit from the peace and security resulting from a Palestinian state. In addition, Fayyad does not believe he is too much of an optimist. I trust our work and international support and believe that despite Israel's moves, especially in the realm of settlement, we will end the occupation. Meanwhile, we are determined and consistent, despite the hardships, to continue to build our own state, he said. So even though these articles that I've shared with you suggest that there is a difficult relationship between Israel and the United States government, they're at conflict with one another, and perhaps things cannot be resolved, as the Israeli government has officially stated that they will not stop construction in East Jerusalem, thus not adhering to one of Obama's demands. But on the other hand, we are getting reports that Israel is trying to adhere to some of the other demands. Israel has been trying the last 2 weeks to show its displeasure to the United States through the media and Jewish leaders and Israeli government spokespeople saying how they believe the approach by the United States will not bring about the desired results of the United States, but through the media as well, the United States is communicating their displeasure to Israel for their position. Meanwhile, Defense Minister Ehud Barak is going to be traveling to the United States this coming week. And I'd like to share with you the final article on the peace process from Haaretz, April the 22nd. It says, Israel and the United States is secretly working to bridge gaps in the peace process. Israel and the United States have conducted behind-the-scenes negotiations in recent days in an effort to find a formula that would bridge their differences over peace negotiations with the Palestinian Authority and America's demand that Israel halt construction in East Jerusalem for at least 4 months. According to a senior Obama administration official, the top Middle East policy specialist at the White House, Dan Shapiro, arrived in Israel yesterday on a secret visit. Shapiro's delegation also included David Hale, who serves as deputy to the U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell and is permanently based in Israel. Shapiro and Hale held lengthy talks yesterday at Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office in Jerusalem with the Prime Minister's envoy Yitzhak Malkshol and Netanyahu advisor Ron Dermer. The talks will continue today. Neither the White House nor the Prime Minister's office have officially announced the talks or even Shapiro's arrival in Israel. Officially, total silence is being maintained, and the Prime Minister's office therefore refused to comment yesterday. But a senior Israeli official said talks with American officials have been conducted throughout the past week by phone, by the Israeli embassy in Washington, and with White House officials who arrived in Israel yesterday. The Israeli source said Israel would not provide an official response to the American demands in the form of a position paper or even a verbal response, but the parties would try to reach an understanding on a joint approach for furthering the peace process. This will be a lengthy process, the official added, and there will be no single event at which Israel will present its response. Currently, the Israeli official said Netanyahu's position is that Israel will not accede to the United States' demand that it suspend construction in Jewish neighborhoods in East Jerusalem. However, diplomatic sources predicted that Netanyahu would agree to promise to avoid provocative steps such as constructing houses for Jews in Arab neighborhoods in the eastern part of the city. The dialogue between Israel and the Obama administration is to continue next week when Defense Minister Ehud Barak visits the United States. Barak, who will leave for the U.S. on Sunday, is slated to deliver a speech at a conference sponsored by the American Jewish Committee, at which U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will also speak. He will also hold meetings with U.S. National Security Advisor General James Jones, Clinton, and other senior officials. The talks will deal with the peace process in the effort to bridge the disagreements between the U.S. and Israel, as well as the Iranian nuclear issue and weapons smuggling with Syria to Lebanon. When Netanyahu visited the United States several weeks ago, U.S. President Barack Obama gave him a list of demands during their White House meeting. One of the demands was a construction freeze in East Jerusalem. Obama also demanded that Netanyahu make other confidence-building gestures to the Palestinians, such as allowing the opening of Palestinian institutions in the eastern part of the city, transferring additional West Bank territory to Palestinian security control, and agreeing to discuss all the core issues of the conflict during proximity talks with the Palestinians, instead of insisting that these issues only be discussed in direct talks. So once again, while on one hand it appears as though the United States and Israel are at odds. On the other hand, there are word that there are secret talks being conducted, and Israel is willing to adhere to some of Obama's demands. And so how this is all going to play out, that's what the 5-minute update is for. We're called to be watchmen on the wall. So we will be looking in the ensuing weeks to see how this plays out as the diplomatic process goes forward. Now, I have two articles left for the 5-minute update. These are regarding Iran. From the Jerusalem Post, April the 21st, the U.S. says an Iranian strike is off the table for now. The U.S. has ruled out a military strike against Iran's nuclear program anytime soon, hoping instead negotiations and the United Nations sanctions will prevent the Middle East nation from developing nuclear weapons, a top U.S. Defense Department official said Wednesday. Military force is an option of last resort, Under Secretary of Defense for Policy Michael Flournoy said during a press briefing in Singapore. It's off the table in the near term. Now, this matches with what Lindsey Williams reported in the last month or two when he talked with a global elite who said that there is no plans by the United States to enter into war with Iran during 2010, quite possibly in 2011, but not 2010. Last article from Haaretz, April the 22nd, Vice President Joe Biden says Israel won't attack Iran before sanctions are allowed to work. U.S. Vice President tells ABC's The View that everyone agrees the next step against Iran should be the sanctions route. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden said on Thursday he expects new United Nations sanctions on Iran by late April or early May, and dismissed the notion that Israel might attack the Islamic Republic before first allowing sanctions to take their course. So, the United States is pressuring Israel very strongly to agree to a Palestinian state, while the United States does not seem to be in any hurry to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear bomb. Choosing to use the sanctions route, which has not worked at all so far amid Iranian defiance. So, how is this going to play out? Are we going to find that through American pressure and secret negotiations, Netanyahu is going to agree to a Palestinian state within several months, or let's say by the fall of this year? Or is there going to be a bitter disagreement in the United States will go forward with their threat to dictate a peace plan and get it approved at the United Nations and have international recognition of a Palestinian state through the United Nations without an official peace agreement? And will possible Israeli stubbornness about agreeing to a Palestinian state result in even economic sanctions by Europe or the United States against Israel? The answer to these questions is only time will tell. We are called to be watchmen on the wall and watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. And these issues which we presented to you in this 5-minute update was all about Jerusalem. And so we will continue to be watchmen on the wall because these events are very significant as it relates to the prophecies of the end of days, where it is specified that the prophets indicated that there will come a day that the nations will divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. When this happens, this will be a tribulation event. Meanwhile, we should be watching and preparing our hearts, preparing spiritually, preparing physically, because scripturally, the reason why the God of Israel is allowing these things to happen is because it is a part of His plan to judge the nations and to end the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that in gathering the 12 tribes of Israel, bringing them back to the lands promised in their return, the Messiah of Israel, even Yeshua HaMashiach, will be glorified. And there will be a celebration once He sets His feet down on the Mount of Olives. And when He does, Yeshua will set up His government, with Israel being the head of all nations. Until we do it again, Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.